We thank you, friends, for tuning in today to the Thus Saith the Lord radio broadcast. As always, we hope and pray that this program will be beneficial to you, that it will be received as the truth is received. We thank you for tuning in today, friends, and we want to consider a topic of importance in the religious world, and that is the matter of Roman Catholicism. It is also known as Romanism, or sometimes simply called Catholicism. We know that after the death of the apostles, the influences to give in to the ways of man were extensive. One brother in Christ, an historian, wrote. He said that this pattern was generally kept into the second century, that is, the pattern of Christ's word, but as time moved onward, the change in church government took place. The metropolitan bishops took the oversight of other bishops, forming dioceses. Out of those metropolitan bishops, five bishops further changed the organization of the church by forming the higher rank of patriarch. These were the bishops from Antioch, Rome, Jerusalem, Constantinople, and Alexandria. Changes in organization of the church did not stop at this point. Leo I, 440-461, tried to claim authority over all bishops. The bishop from Constantinople resisted Leo I, rejecting his claim of universal authority. It is interesting to note that in the last part of the 4th century and the first part of the 5th century, the title Pope was used by many bishops at the same time. However, it gradually came to be reserved for the Bishop of Rome. Until in A.D. 606, Boniface III claimed to be the first Pope, forming the Catholic Church. As we look at Roman Catholicism, we know that it began to evolve when men began to lose respect for God's authority, for His Word. They began to depart from the faith, as Paul had predicted. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Paul warned here by the Spirit that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. The faith is the body of New Testament teaching. It is a way of saying that they would depart from the Word of God. The expression "the faith," the word "faith" preceded by the article "the," refers to that which we are to earnestly contend for, which has been once for all delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. And of course, that occurred in the first century. It is that which man is to obey, Acts 6 and verse 7. It is that which Paul preached and which all true gospel preachers preach, the faith, Galatians 1, 23. It is that which Christians or saints are to continue in once they have obeyed the gospel. And of course, when man obeys the gospel, he becomes a member of God's church and he is declared to be a saint, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. And saints or Christians are to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, Colossians 1 verse 23. But as men began to lose respect for God's word and depart from the New Testament pattern that we are to hold fast and firmly to, 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, they began to exalt men to positions that they should not be in. They began to put them up over other men. Now we know that elders or bishops are overseers of the flock of God, Acts 20, verse 28. But yet the position they wanted to give men was even above that. And we know today that in Catholicism, men are worshiped and are given places of exaltation that God never meant for them to have. For example, the Pope of Rome claims to be the vicar or representative of Christ upon this earth. But my friends, Christ does not need anyone to take his place on this earth. He has his all-authoritative word as his representative. And Jesus said, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28 and verse 18. And the idea also that man can go to a Roman Catholic priest and should go to him to confess his sins and to ask forgiveness, as if the priest is God. My friends, these things are not biblical. These things are not taught in the Scriptures. Now, indeed, as Christians, we are to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another, James 5:16. So we can go to our brothers and sisters in Christ and ask them to pray for us and to pray with us. But yet James said that we are to pray one for another. Do you ever have the Roman Catholic priest confessing his sins to the members of the Roman Catholic Church? Absolutely not. Moreover, the priest has no authority to forgive sins. When we pray forgiveness, we are to go to God the Father in prayer through our great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, Hebrews 4:14-16. We are to pray to our Father, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us," in the prayer that Jesus gave in Matthew 6:9-13. Of course, we don't have to say it in exactly those words, but the point is that we go to God the Father and ask Him to forgive us when we have sinned as Christians. We pray to God the Father, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," Matthew 6 and verse 9. And when we come to the Father, the throne of God, in prayer, we go through our great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, as we said a moment ago, Hebrews 4:14-16. Another thing that is prevalent in Roman Catholicism is idolatry and Mariolatry, that is, the worship of Mary. The bowing down before statues and images. My friends, this is condemned in the Scripture. We are to do no such thing. And surely the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a wonderful woman, a godly woman, whose example we would commend to girls and ladies and to everyone. She truly was a great and godly woman. But Mary was not God, neither was Paul or Peter or James or John or any other man. These individuals were great and godly servants of the Lord, but they are not God. When in Catholicism Mary is referred to as the Mother of God, this implies something that is sacrilegious and against the will of God. It implies that God had a beginning. Now God, in the form of the flesh, named Jesus, 1 Timothy 3:16, Matthew 1:21-23, did have an earthly beginning, a fleshly beginning in the womb of his virgin mother Mary, but yet he was God in eternity. God has no beginning and no end. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, Psalm 90:2. Also, to refer to Mary, the Mother of God, gives her a place of exaltation that the Bible does not allow. We note that in the Scriptures, Jesus plainly said, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." We are not to worship any man, any human being, not the Roman Catholic priest, not the Pope of Rome, not Mary or any other human being. Also, we are not to worship any angels. We are not to pray to so-called saints and angels. In Revelation 22, we have an incident where the Apostle John fell down before the feet of the angel. In verses 8 and 9, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Don't worship me, worship God. Another noteworthy incident is in Acts, the 10th chapter, when the Apostle Peter, whom Catholics claim was the first pope, came into the presence of Cornelius, the house of Cornelius. When Peter came in, Cornelius fell down before him. And let's read what Peter's response was. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. This tells us, beloved friends, that the Apostle Peter is not like the Pope of Rome. The Pontiff or Pope of Rome allows people to fall down and worship at his feet, to kiss his toe or to kiss his hand. The apostles would not allow this. The angel of God in Revelation 22, referred to in verses 8 and 9, would not allow it. And nor will any true Christian allow another human being to fall down and to worship him. We are to worship God. We need to consider these things seriously today of which we speak. No doubt there are people, precious souls, who are led astray by the false teachings and practices of Roman Catholicism. God wants you to come out of that, my friend, to come out of that and obey the truth of the gospel. But first we have to hear and believe the word of God, Romans 10:17, and to repent and turn to God, Acts 26:20, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God, Acts 8:37, and arising and being baptized, I have our sins washed away by the blood of Christ, Acts 22:16, Revelation 1:5. And then if we will continue in the faith until the end, one day we will have a home in heaven. We thank you for listening, my friends, and let's tune in the next time to hear more on this matter. Thank you.